You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Second hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Thursday morning. Brought to you by Blue Note, Juke Joints, smoother than smooth. Every Thursday at this time, we go to our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and we bring in the GM, Floyd Reese. Brought to you by Sealmaster, keeping your parking lots looking brand new. Floyd can be heard right after our show today. Jared and the GM, Monday through Friday from 2 until 6. I've noticed that's the theme. We've got the two shows going up against each other that join us every Thursday. Paul Feinbaum at 10:15, 94.9 from 2 to 6. And the GM, Floyd Reese, right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game from 2 to 6 Monday through Friday. Floyd, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing this beautiful day?
It is. It's been a beautiful week. The weather's been fantastic.
Really has. Yes.
Can we, like, package this up and just keep this for the rest of 2020?
Rest
that would
of
be
the
nice.
Year. Yeah.
Walk us through what John Robinson did the other day while you were on the air and our show was done. Just when you have to make tough choices as a general manager, you do, and you have to just decide enough is enough and cut bait in the middle of the season.
Yeah, he's much more courageous than I ever was. You know, I always pawn that off on Jeff. go talk about it, Jeff. I don't want to go out there. They'll rip me. You know what? It is it's a tough part of the business. And I think, you know, if you look at where this team is and the number of players he's brought in and then you look at the number that haven't worked out, I mean, he's way, way ahead of the average. And so, you know, he's probably a little bit more confident to do that. I mean, it was the right thing to do. I thought he handled it well. You know, that for whatever reason, and I'm not sure we'll ever know all the ins and outs, but for whatever reason, that whole thing didn't work really for either side. And, you know, it's sometimes better to just end those things. You know, sometimes it's more than just football. You know, sometimes an attitude or a practice habit or, you know, how actions in the locker room, some of those kinds of things affect the team. And if you sense that, you know, then I think it's time to really quickly make a move, get that taken care of.
You kind of said last week or the week before, I don't remember, the last couple weeks, you said, I knew you would bring up Vince Young when we were talking about the quarterback. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pump up your tires because I did bring up Vince Young on that day and say I thought you were very good at bringing in people. That you're free. You had a lot of home runs with free agent signings, whether it was big contracts or just guys off the scrap heap, and it worked out. Take us through that process and in particular, a guy like Vic Beasley, who we trotted guys on from Atlanta who covered him when the Titans signed him, and we were just basically begging for somebody to say, you know what, it didn't work out in Atlanta, the Falcons are just, you know, dysfunctional family, this coaching staff probably isn't going to make it, but you'll see a different Vic Beasley in Nashville. You know, Mike Vrabel and that staff will get the most out of him. I wouldn't be surprised if he just turns into a different player in Tennessee. We couldn't get anybody to say that. We were, you know, just looking for somebody to do something than the narrative that was out there on him. So the question I have, Floyd, is you've got to have confidence in what you do. You can't worry about what everybody else does. But there is a balance, right, because you can't change everybody. So how do you handle that balance of being confident that you guys can do things differently than somebody else, but also knowing that it's a big risk because there are just some people, it doesn't matter what staff it is, you're not going to change them.
Yeah, and I think that is the most difficult part about free agency, bringing somebody in that you don't really know. Some of the people that we brought, like a Kevin Carter, we brought Kevin in, even though in St. Louis at the time, you know, his reputation was maybe not what you thought it was. And the reason we did that was because we vetted him so strongly when he was coming out, because we were so interested. He was going to be somebody that, that we were going to draft. And we felt like we knew this kid. And so it wasn't as important what happened elsewhere, because we felt like we had enough information, we can bring him in, and he will fit here, and he will be fine. That is the toughest part about free agency. You know, I mean, can A.B. play? Sure he can. Well, playing isn't his problem. It's all the other things. And those are the things that are so hard to find out, because people don't want to, you know, don't want to kill the kid. They don't want to, you know, maybe say some things that are maybe out of, you know, out of proportion as to what they really were. And there's a lot of that. And if you don't really know people that can give you the straight scoop, it's easy to bring somebody in and find out after he's in here that, you know what, he doesn't really fit in our locker room. He doesn't really practice the way we want him to practice. He's not really reacting to the coaches the way that we thought he would. As to your locker room and bringing guys in, for me, the best example was New England. And they didn't get every one of these right either, but the locker room was really, really strong. But beyond the strength of the locker room, there was Tom Brady. And I don't care who you are. I don't care, you know, if you're an alpha, a triple alpha. When you go into that locker room and Tom Brady's in that locker room, you kind of sit down and listen, you know. And Tom was strong enough in everything that happened that he could, for the most part, get those guys to change. You know, get those guys, Randy Moss, for example, you know, that Randy had some issues early. We all know that. But when he got to New England, I mean, you couldn't ask for a better guy, a better teammate, you know, better player. And I think beyond having a strong locker room, you have to have a person or a group of guys, maybe it's more than one, that are just so strong, I'm talking about throughout the league, that they command some kind of respect. Because if you don't, when you bring in a guy like I mentioned A.B. before, a guy like A.B. comes in, well, he's strong now. You know, his personality's strong. His reputation is strong. His skill set is strong. His checking account is strong. You know, just everything about him is strong. And you have to have somebody in that locker room that even he will listen to. And if you've got that guy, then you're probably okay. If you don't, then you have to be very, very careful about who comes in and how your locker room reacts to him.
Well, with that being said, do you think that this Titans locker room is missing some of those strong leaders, strong personalities, guys that took control of the room like Jarrell Casey and Wesley Woodyard and Logan Ryan? Do you think they're missing that ingredient right now in the room?
You know, I don't know that they are in my mind, and I don't know how he reacts in the locker room, but it's probably hard to find somebody stronger than Derrick Henry. You know, when you think throughout the league and you think, is there anybody, you know, first of all, his physical appearance, he's a giant, you know, leading the league in rushing, you know, tough as nails, all of those kinds of things. Now, does he have the personality to be that guy? I don't know. But guys like that, and like maybe a Taylor Lewan, and maybe Tannehill, I'm not sure. But there are guys, Byard, you know, that are fairly strong. You know, are they looked at with that strength throughout the league? You know, maybe not exactly the way we do, but I still think they're pictured as strong, strong guys.
Talking to Floyd Reese, Jared and the GM later today. Of course, he's brought to you by Sealmaster. Floyd, I've been kicking this around to different people this week. With the Corey Davis situation, he's had a really nice start to the year. There's a long way to go, but he's becoming more and more, I think, of a known quantity. And as you know, it's kind of a wild card to spend big money on a free agent receiver who hasn't played for you. And it's also a little bit of a wild card to draft and try to bring somebody in and insert them, even though it's much less expensive. So with that in mind, would you be thinking about going to Corey Davis and coming up with some sort of package to throw at him, also knowing that the salary cap could be coming down, the market could be a little less certain than it is in some years?
And I think that's the way I would approach it, Willie, is just the way you did. Hey, listen, we all know next year the cap's not going to be what we all want it to be. It's going to be far less. There's going to be far less money for free agency. Therefore, you know, would you consider, and I think I would start it that way, kind of approach it that way. And maybe, you know, maybe instead of saying, okay, we'll give you a 6-year contract, say, no, how about a 1-year or maybe a 2-year? And let's just get past this bad year. And then when we get back on schedule, you know, we can go ahead and work something out if things work out at that point in time. Because I'm going to guess, and again, if you're the number one guy in free agency, if he's the absolute best receiver out there, then he'll get paid. You know, somebody will pay him. I just have to imagine, and I have no idea what the free agency list looks like. I would have to imagine that there'll be a couple of guys out there that will be, you know, at least at Corey's level, if not above. And therefore, you know, if you're not the first guy, if you're the fourth guy, I mean, the drop-off, especially in a cap-tight year, the drop-off from 1 to 4, I mean, it may be, you know, on the total deal, it may be $20, $30 million.
So if you look down the road, if you're John Robinson, what does the receiver position look like if he's not in it? That would have to influence how you go about this year.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think you know, if it doesn't work out and it comes down to it and you've got to franchise them or, you know, whatever you need to do, then that's probably the way you'll have to go, even though that number will be outrageous, I'm sure. But, you know, I mean, we and I've said from the beginning, you know, the receiver position from a draft standpoint, I screwed that thing up 20 years ago, and nobody's gotten it fixed yet. You know, it's been so bad for so long. And so if you do get somebody and you do think he is, you know, maybe he's not an all-pro. You know, he's not going to catch 100 balls. But, man, oh, man, is he good for us. You know, he really fits us, and we like him, and he's our kind of guy, and all of those things. Then, you know, you need to probably try to find a way to keep that guy. Because, like you said, going into the draft, I mean, for us, has really been a crapshoot, and we have not done very well.
When you look at Khalil Mack and the trade that the Bears made, I saw an interesting deep dive into this. You know, there's a lot of details because a lot of the draft picks that were exchanged turned into other draft picks, and it's been 2 years, and there's a lot to sort out there. But it's an interesting one to look at because I think the Bears are certainly happy that they got Khalil Mack. He's still a dynamic player. But the Raiders are also pretty happy with all of what they got in that deal. So who do you think won that trade, if there is such an answer to that?
You know, I'm just guessing. It looked like it may have worked out for both. You know, Chicago,
I think both teams would say that.
He certainly made a difference in Chicago's team. You know, there's no doubt about that. I mean, he electrified that pass rush and the things they did and that defensive front and all of that. And by the same token, the Raiders, in the position they were in and John was in and, you know, just getting there. And, I mean, let's face it, pass rushers are as hard to find, you know, legitimate pass rushers as hard to find as you know, quarterbacks or all-pro corners or where they're just – aren't many of them out there. So if you get a chance to get one, I mean, it's going to cost you an arm and a leg. You know that. But in your mind, if it's worth, like next year for us, let's say, you know, we decided pass rush is overwhelming need and we have got to sell our soul to go out there and get a pass rusher, then what it cost, you know, to get him, I mean, you may be willing to pay that. It's just such a, you know, they're so few and far between. And the effect that they have, you know, think about way back when we got Javon and we got Kevin and we got, you know, those guys together, the effect that had not only on our team, but on our defense. You know, we there for a while, our defense was pretty darn good. You know, people didn't look forward to playing us because of that. And it was all kind of led by the pass rush, not taking anything away from the rest of those guys. But, I mean, people knew that the ball had to come out quickly or else you were going to get smacked.
We're talking to the GM, Floyd Reese, 2-6 weekdays here on ESPN, 102.5 The Game. So, Floyd, one thing we know is that Mike Vrabel has a very good ability of connecting with his team. His players like playing for him. He's not that far removed from playing in the league, and so he seems to have a very good relationship with his players and is able to get the best out of them, like we were talking about potentially with Vic Beasley. But as the GM, how closely do you monitor that to see, okay, the head coach, the players, they're on the same page, they're vibing, you can tell that the relationship is good, but was there ever a point in your career where you felt like you needed to step in and have a conversation one way or the other if things didn't look right?
You know, I can't remember ever doing that. Now, what happens, or at least what happened with me, was I had coached for so long, you know. So for me to not be on the practice field, not be in the training room, not be in the weight room, not be in all of the areas that they kind of congregate, that was unusual for me. So I would find, you know, if I was looking for a place to get out of the office for a second to catch my breath, I would run down and visit Haas in the equipment room, or I'd run in and visit Brad in the training room or something. Well, there's always players around, and you're always hearing players talk. And if I ever, you know, picked up something that I thought was a bad vibe or picked up something that was said about somebody else that I thought was important, I would go to Jeff with it, you know, and I would say, maybe, hey, you need to maybe talk to, you know, to Floyd. I heard him in there griping about, you know, not about play time or scheme or when we're blitzing or whatever the case may be. I'm not sure he fully understands what's going on. It might be a good idea if you guys call him in and just sit and visit with him for a second. Now, I don't know if he ever did it. You know, I never checked up on him, but I would do that periodically. But I don't ever remember, you know, going to him and saying, hey, the locker room is really, you know, in an uproar about whatever it might be.
Is that difficult? You mentioned that you know, you were a coach for so long. Is that the hardest part for, you know, whether it's Vrabel that was a player or you that you were a coach and moved to the front office, of letting go, not completely letting go of the old job, but, you know, kind of moving on and knowing that they're very different?
Yeah, it is. And your background, in my opinion, you know, always kind of dictates where you gravitate. And, you know, in my situation, if I had been an accountant or a lawyer, you know, I probably would have stayed upstairs and gone down and visited, you know, one of the lawyers or one of the marketing people or one of the, but, you know, let's face it, I didn't have a lot to say to those guys, you know, where I could go down to Haas or I'd go to Brad, you know, I'd go to Watterson and sit and, you know, carry on a conversation like we'd been together all day long. So that was just natural to me, easy to me, and I probably felt the most comfortable doing that.
What should be the realistic expectation for a Desmond King that just got acquired via trade, and then if Adoree Jackson is activated and plays, for those two guys this weekend against Chicago?
You know, if of course with King you don't know, because he's just not going to have any practice time. And I don't know, you know, because he has been playing, all of those things. Maybe it's an easier transition than you think. You just don't know. But from a speed standpoint, you know, just from a schematic standpoint, I think it allows you options. It allows you to do some things you've been scared to death to do, you know, because it's pretty easy with anybody that's out there saying, okay, when you hear this, it's a blitz. That means you take that guy you're on man for man all over the field. And, you know, any corner in the league can understand that part of it. So, you know, you can say to yourself, okay, I feel better about the possibility of blitzing. I feel better about the possibility of bringing, I guess this King kid is a good blitzer. I mean, he's got, I think I read someplace, he's got like 7.5 sacks himself.
Yep.
So, you know, you feel better about running a slot blitz like we used to run, you know, and got so many good plays out of it. Simply because you know the possibility of you covering those receivers is much, much better. You know, I mean, let's face it, it's each week, and we started talking about Joseph, you know, way back in, you know, and I don't want to point the finger at him alone because I think what happened to him was unfair in that he was brought in to do a job and was forced into another job. You know,
that is so true.
Yeah, he brought in to be an assistant coach, and all of a sudden somebody walked to him and said, hey, you're going to be the head coach today. Well, you know what? I am prepared for this. I'm not quite ready. And he was thrown into a position where now he's got to go out there and he's got to play every snap. And you know, he knows he can't run. And yeah. And he knows the guy he's lined up on, if he takes off and goes, he's not going to be able to run with him. And so, you know, he's smart enough and savvy enough to say, okay, I better play soft, I better back up, I better, you know, which is a smart thing to do. But if the guy catches the ball, you know, am I going to be close enough to where I can tackle him? And he just got thrown into a real mess. So I don't, you know, it's hard for me to, I understand what happened. You know, you can't disagree with it, simply because if you look over the last 3 or 4 weeks, you know, I got worried about it about 3 or 4 weeks ago when I, you know, there was a play or two, and I'm watching him and I'm going, you know what, that guy can't run. He can't run a lick. And then the next week, he was targeted 4 times. And then the next week, he was targeted 6 times. And then, you know, this week, he was targeted I don't know how many times.
And if they'd played this week, they would put it up on the scoreboard. We're coming after Jonathan Joseph. Like, there's not even a secret. It's like it's
yeah. The surprise, surprise. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, but he got caught in that, and, you know, you had to do something.
He is the GM, Floyd Reese, 2-6 weekdays here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Floyd, appreciate it. We'll do it again next week.
Thanks, you guys.
Floyd Reese brought to you by Sealmaster, keeping your parking lots looking brand new. Titans and Bears coming up this weekend. We will continue to discuss that when we come back here on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.